and welcome to WonderPod, episode 128. We're back in the saddle on a Thursday again. There's no wrestling, there's no family fun festivals, there's no sheep shagging, but more on that later. So we're back on Thursdays now. Roger will be so happy. Well, maybe not after a sheep shagging joke 27 seconds into the show. Joining me this week, as always, is Glacinator.
Hello.
Who might not be all there because he had a hell of an exam this morning and is suffering from sleep deprivation.
Half of my brain is random artist names just flashing through. So if I randomly say like Jackson Pollock during the show, just please ignore that.
As long as you don't do what he did during the show, we're good. I was going to say you should get that joke. Also joining us as always is John.
Hey, everybody. And believe me, Bruce, don't worry about Roger. He'll be happy just that you dropped his name.
I love doing it anyway. Because he always like at replies me on Twitter with stuff like we actually have a fan, so I feel so fucking like a special princess. So I'll name drop his ass all I want. He does. I bet he's a pretty funny bastard. Never met the man, but at least the at replies I get from him on Twitter always make me chuckle. So
that's all I care. He's not afraid to give a pretty good zinger every once in a while.
I'd have him on the show at some point, but then it'd ruin it because it's like we have our one fan on the show.
Mm-hmm. He has a mystique.
Pat's sitting listening to this, going, "You fucking bastards." I listen to you every week. I was on that show for almost 100 shows, and this is how you repay me. Yeah, pretty much. I don't worry about pissing him off. He doesn't get too mad. He just gets even with me, which is fine. So we're going to do what we've been playing, but I think John's going to be the only one with anything interesting and new to say, possibly, because...
Oh, dear, really? You're hinging on this on me? I think that's a bad idea.
Well, I didn't actually ask Glacinator in the pre-show bullshit segment whether he'd played anything, but with an exam that's caused sleep deprivation, I'm using my psycho abilities to say probably not.
That's a good guess.
Yeah. Well, having been to college myself, I kind of knew. Well, Glace, why don't you go ahead and do yours, and then John can thrill us with iPhone games, and then I'll babble.
All right. Well, as you know, I've been quite busy this week, and so I haven't really played anything on consoles, really. I haven't touched Conkers again since last week, but thankfully I have my 3DS, and I was able to play a little bit more of the new Super Mario Bros. Game that came out last month. And as I'm getting through it more and more, I'm liking it more and more because it's reminding me a lot of Super Mario World on the SNES, which is my favorite side-scroller Mario. And they have a lot of things that are recycled from Super Mario World that I like. Like, they have that weird Triceratops Ferris wheel mini-boss? They have those every few levels, and those are always pretty fun. They have the saw blades from the Bowser Castles, as well as the twisting spikes that shoot out. And they brought back the cages, with the Koopas that are climbing on the cages, and you can jump on, and you can punch the cage and flip to the other side and flip back around, and if you're on the opposite side of the cage from a Koopa, you can punch it off. So there's a lot of references back to Super Mario World that I really appreciate, and it really is a lot of fun to go back and do these levels. So they're not the same levels, but they feel like old levels, but with like a new spin on them. So it's a lot of fun. I haven't really been playing with the 3D on, which is, I guess, sort of dumb. But I mean, 3D does eat up a lot of battery, and I find myself playing when I'm not close to the outlet. So I just tend to have it on 2D, and it really doesn't make that huge of a difference. The only difference between 2D and 3D is that the background appears a little bit farther away, so it doesn't really matter that much in a side-scroller game. But, I mean, I'm still having a lot of fun with it. I think I'm on World 6 or 7 right now. It's still a good game, and I definitely suggest it if you have a 3DS.
So, okay, let me ask you this then. Since we had the discussion, and we're actually going to talk about the Wii U again later in the show, except we're just going to make fun of people with it this time. Since I'm hearing that the Super Mario that's coming out for Wii U at launch is similar to the one that's now on 3DS, are you curious at all to play the 3DS game on the bigger screen on a new console because it does harken back to the older Super Marios? Or are you just happy with the 3DS?
I mean, the main appeal to this is that it's portable and that I can bring it anywhere with me, which makes for, I guess, quicker play and better play. I mean, if it's on console, I still haven't beaten the the Super Mario Brothers for the original Wii yet, just because, you know, I don't have my Wii with me, and when I do have it, when I'm back in my house, it's so much effort just to turn on, and that sounds really lazy, but it's a lot more effort than just turning on a 3DS and playing for 5 minutes, which is what I like a lot.
So, essentially, you'd probably check out the Wii U one at some point after you bought the console, but you're not in a hurry to get it.
No.
I will say that you describing this game having a lot of elements from Super Mario World appeals to me a lot. I thought I had heard that the game cribs Mario 3 a lot more this time, but you know, Mario World is probably my favorite one. On the WonderPod Top 50, it was my top ranked Mario game of my bunch. But
they don't have the yellow cape. I mean, they might have it later on, but I mean, that was my favorite part of Mario World is the yellow cape. The level, the way that the worlds are laid out is a lot like Mario 3, which is good. But the levels inside themselves are like Mario World.
Okay, so you mean like an overworld map like Mario 3, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So Mario World had a lot of hidden exits and stuff?
They have a lot of boo houses in this that have like three different secret passageways, which is really cool.
Okay.
It's fun to do. There, I don't think there's a Star Road though, which is sad. But
yes, the WonderPod Online Top 50, the only Top 50 in the world that had like approximately 27 fucking Mario games in it. that's right, I ain't fucking forgot. What was I gonna say?
You're welcome, Bruce.
Thank you for setting that up, because actually I had forgotten. But the rage comes right back.
Riding the bike.
Yeah, hell yeah, with me? No kidding. What the hell was I going to say? You know, I'd kind of forgotten Super Mario World until you said the Ferris Wheel of Doom mini-boss. I hated that.
The Reznors.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
I just called them Triceratops.
I don't know where the name comes from, but I always think of Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails when I see them now.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you said Ferris Wheel.
Wasn't there some kind of
like... Yeah. So they're called Reznors?
Yeah, written like in Mario World, written on the board, like on a piece of wood in between the three of them. Like they're just going around in circle and firing fireballs at you. And written on there, it says Reznor.
Who knows? Maybe Shigeru Miyamoto is a big fan of Trent. Is it Reznor or Reznor? I think I always say it wrong. It's probably the problem.
I probably say it wrong too.
There's no telling. You guys have heard me try and pronounce Japanese and German names on this show. Come on. A, don't try very hard. B, I'm not very good at it. So, all right. So now we have it's going to be portable MMO. Oh, the audience is going to fucking love this. Okay. So now we have the 3DS report. What's going on the iPhone this week, John? We do own consoles, believe it or not.
Yes, we do, and I will get back to Dead Space 2. I've been kind of itching the last week to get back to it and finally wrap that bastard up. I want to get back to a console so bad that I bought Max Payne 3 yesterday for $20. So that's sitting there in a bag on the floor next to the pile of shame. So, yeah, I want to get back to some games, but this week is... I guess my visit with my meeting Rowdy Roddy Piper last week kind of inspired me to watch a whole lot of independent wrestling shows. So I've been kind of busy doing that between the $5 wrestling, and I'm currently watching the Chikara King of Trios tournament from a few weeks ago. But back to games. We weren't going to talk about wrestling, were we? So anyway... Yeah, iPhone it is. I've been playing more Super Hexagon, trying to make my times get longer and longer on each of the three levels. I finished Super Hexagon. I'm 3 seconds away. I keep topping out at 56, 57 seconds on Hexagoner. I can't wait to post it on Twitter that I did it, because when I finished Hexagon, I got a bunch of replies saying, you know, saying that's insane. So it kind of beefed up my my gamer nerd cred, I guess. And my sister has been playing it too, so we were competing for times on the leaderboard. So it's pretty fun. So the other game I've been playing on my iPhone was a free game last week called Run Roo Run. And it's made by the same guys who did Scribblenauts. And the basic story is that you're a kangaroo on one side of Australia trying to make it to the other, and in that road there's a series of chapters and challenges within those chapters. So there's, I think, I want to say 20 to 30 stages within every chapter. And unlike Scribblenauts, there's not a lot of, well, there's none really, a creative component, but the similarities of Scribblenauts in that you have to get to the goal in every stage. So in Run Roo Run, your little kangaroo starts on the left hand side of the screen, and you just touch the screen to make him to have him start running, and you tap the screen again every time you want him to jump, which is really until he gets to the finish line on the other side. It's a very simple concept, except that with each progressive chapter and every progressive stage, the jumps get more tricky. And with each chapter, they kind of introduce a new element. So in the first couple of chapters, it's as simple as jumping over a pool of water or rocks and doing a couple in succession. And then the next one, they'll introduce a rubber tire that will bounce you an extra little bit of height or distance, and you have to kind of time your jumps a little more carefully. And then the next one, it'll add a double jump. So you have to walk or jump through the double jump icon, which allows you to double jump a little bit higher through a hole in a wall and then down the other side. So, and then the third chapter will add on those again. So it gets more and more complicated, more and more little tricks and things you have to do, while at the same time they're making your your margin of error that you're allowed to have smaller and smaller. So the jumps become more and more tricky as you go along. And then what's to add to the challenge? For each chapter, there's what they call extreme stages, and which I think is only six of those for each chapter. And those things are bloody difficult. I'm only on chapter four, and I'm already banging my head against the wall for a lot of these. I can only imagine what it's going to be like when I get up into the higher chapters. I think there's 24 chapters, so when you get up higher and higher, like, it's going to be as bad, I would say, as something like Super Meat Boy, where you have to be really precise, super precise about when you're going to jump and how you're going to land is also very important, because if you jump, land and jump right away, you may have already jumped too soon. So and you get, of course, you get gold, silver, or bronze stars for however long it takes you to finish the level, because if you like hit a rock or jump in the water and you die and the stage restarts, your time doesn't restart unless you press restart the level from zero. And but the thing is, if you don't, it kind of leaves an arrow on the ground showing where you jumped the last time, so you can kind of improve it, but at the expense of your time increasing, and you might not get that gold star or silver star. I was saying on Twitter, what would be pretty cool for Run Roo Run is if at the end of the level, when you pass it, you got to see all your past attempts, the way they do it in Super Meat Boy, if anyone out there has played that one. Which I also recommend, because it's tough and really fun. So Run Roo Run. I don't think it's still free. I think it's I want to say it's 99 cents, but it's good time waster, kind of things, bite sized gameplay that you play a few chapters and put it down and come back to it again, and yeah, so go for it.
Again, sorry about that. For those of you that are wondering why I'm apologizing to John, you don't need to know. It happened. It's one of the WonderPod dark secrets. Anyway, first thing I want to say for what I've been playing is panty. Leave it to our very own Patman. No, I didn't download it, but you can search for that on iTunes and see what it brings you. For me, I've actually been playing some mobile games as well. Currently, right now, while we're doing this show, I'm playing Angry Birds. Clean up some three stars I don't have. I also downloaded one of Patman's approved iOS free titles. It's called Gunman Clive. It's little platformy slash shooting gallery slash other things. Ducks can do damage to you, which I find to be slightly annoying. And it, overall, it's a good little title. It was free when I got it. It's probably back to 99 cents now. If you go to our website, wonderpotonline.com, you can always find a lot of titles. And if you're there every day, you can usually find them when they're free. The Panty Panty one was also another one he posted, but he did that mostly because the cover art is kind of hilarious. Also still playing Guild Wars 2. I am now in a guild. The Combat Wombats that I mentioned last week, they were kind enough to let me in their guild, so I need to thank those guys. I actually did a dungeon run with them on Saturday night, last Saturday night. I'm glad I did it, because while I think we were a little unsure of what strategy we should use, and a lot of us had not worked together before, I found dungeons or raids or whatever you want to call them to be a lot more pleasant, I guess the word would be. I mean, we died a lot, and there was a lot of steps to follow to finish it, but it didn't seem to be nearly as super frustrating as some can be in, like, WoW and Aeon and you know, EverQuest and on down to whatever MMO you want to name. So I really enjoyed that. This guild seems to be a great bunch of people. At least they're talkative in the guild chat, and they all willing to help each other out, which is cool. Other than that, just leveling up my single-player character, hoping to get it to level 80, or my character in general, hoping to get it up to level 80 in the next couple weeks. And then I actually committed sacrilege, well, at least if you're a super hardcore Minecraft player, it's probably sacrilege. I downloaded a title on XBLA called Castle Miner Z. Now, there's an original Castle Miner, which was most likely a clone-ish of Minecraft. Although, if the original Castle Miner is anything like Castle Miner Z, it's inspired by Minecraft, but not a complete knockoff of it, which is kind of cool to see to a certain extent. Some of the early games that were influenced by Minecraft, one of which we made a lot of fun of on the show, were not so much influenced by Minecraft, but ripped off by it, or ripping it off. The thing about Castle Miner Z is it's kind of a zombie apocalypse game, which should, you know, have been fairly obvious with the Z in there, given DayZ, the mod for Arma. It's kind of an homage to both of them, and I really like it. It puts kind of the fear and intensity and challenge back into a building-esque kind of game that Minecraft had for me originally. And on top of that, you actually have guns, and you can make guns. I mean, you're still mining resources, building things. The zombies are pretty deadly. I've played it on both normal and easy. I've not tried hardcore. On normal, the zombies, about 1.5 hits. If you don't get away from them, you're screwed. On easy, it's about 2 hits. But that's okay, because as long as you stay indoors or get indoors before nightfall, you're fine. They don't break down doors. They're kind of pretty much screwed if you're inside. There's also an undead dragon enemy in this game, which at first is kind of a pain in the ass because you only have a pistol. But as you upgrade your weapons and make things like an automatic AK-47, the dragon becomes less of a pain. Again, it's an homage to, or it's influenced heavily by Minecraft and by DayZ, the mod for Arma. But for 80 points on XBLA Indie Games, you can't go wrong. It was a little change of pace, gave me something to break up, you know, bouts of Guild Wars and work and iPhone games and stuff. So you should at least check it out. The cool thing is it has a trial. Now, in the early days of Indie Games, it did not have trials, but this one does. And like I said, it's 80 points. I don't know a single person, and as soon as I say this, I'm going to get proven wrong, that doesn't have, you know, like a random 100 points or 150 points or 80 points laying around in their Xbox Live Gold account. It seems to be that way often. So check it out. If you like Minecraft, or are curious to try something like Minecraft and only have a console, you know, Castle Miner or Castle Miner DayZ probably be a good option. There you go. That's all we've been playing this week. At least there's a little more variety.
Yeah, a little bit, actually.
Which brings us to our discussion topic. Oh, other thing I should say is we don't hate Borderlands 2. Just none of us have played it. I've already got enough stuff. John's never really played it. But Glacinator's roommate has it. So he's hoping to play
it. I don't have an excuse next week.
Yeah, he's hoping to play it this weekend since there is drop-in, drop-out, four-player co-op in it. So, if you're wondering about Borderlands and are coming to us for advice, first off, you got problems. Second off, you'll have to wait till next week. Which brings us to the discussion topic, which is utterly lame, but that's what happens when there's nothing I can think of and it's last minute. We're on the eve now with Borderlands 2 coming out of what we've termed or stole from somebody else, Gamageddon, which is obviously the period between October and the end of the year. At least it's now crawling into October. It'd be nice to see it crawl out from June to December. And I'm curious, what games are either on your radar or hard locks that you plan on purchasing during the crush of, you know, holiday game releases? John, let's start with you. I asked you in the show notes that we sometimes read, you know, because we really prepare hard for the show, people. It's like 10, 15 minutes solid, and we're good to go. What's a couple that you're either thinking about or definitely plan on purchasing come this holiday season?
Well, the one that pops in my mind immediately is Assassin's Creed 3. I'm a big fan of that series, and I'm a little bit behind in terms of the Assassin's Creed 2 spin-off games. I did start Brotherhood, but I haven't done the latest one. I haven't played the latest one at all yet, so that's definitely the highest one on my radar, I think.
Anything that's looking promising, but or you were a little surprised you might want? Essentially, one more that's kind of a maybe, not sure yet, might read reviews.
Yeah, I'm considering WWE 13. Because I as much as you know, WWE 12 was okay. I did enjoy some of the storyline stuff, so I'll probably end up playing that. I wouldn't be surprised with a few of the fellas over.
Glacinator, what about you? I think you can skip Halo 4. We all already know that one, but what some others possibly that you're definitely going to pick up or might pick up this holiday season?
I mean, well, there's two major ones I've already reserved, and you already said one, which is Halo 4, which everyone should know that. And then, like John, the other one is Assassin's Creed 3. So I'm not sure if there's anything else coming out for 3DS this holiday season. I'm not sure if Luigi's Mansion is it this holiday season, or is it pushed back to quarter one? I'm not sure. But it feels like a lot of things have been pushed back.
You know, BioShock
got pushed back and everything.
Yeah, on Luigi's Mansion, I think I heard that, or I saw a headline that it was pushed back to 2013, but while I'm saying mine, you could wiki that and let us know.
I'm doing it right now.
I thought so, that's why. Not even sure why I gave you the prompt. For me, I do want to play Borderlands 2, but it, quite possibly Medal of Honor Warfighter, maybe Assassin's Creed 3. It's actually now going to a period of history I give a shit about. So it's going to be tough, although that genre and gameplay style is not exactly my best, to pass that up. Now, here's the thing. I intend to buy those three games new-ish, meaning I'm willing to give the publishers my money, but not release day. Obviously not with Borderlands 2. Medal of Honor Warfighter, the reason for that one, as gaga as I was, and I was pretty much alone with the original Medal of Honor reboot, was that was DICE and EALA, that they're called now, or Danger Close, I can't remember, they switched names, together, doing single player and multiplayer. This next one is all the EALA studio all by itself, multiplayer, single player. I'm hearing enough when you can get past the ignorant cunts who say that, you know, anything that's not the game they want to play is a COD clone, including Halo 4. I think there's enough there, and I enjoyed the way they handled the single player in the original Medal of Honor reboot to give them my money. And most likely, you know, we're not talking like the $39.99 price on Amazon. We're talking probably closer to the $60 one, but probably not on launch day. I really feel just strongly enough that I think they might have something worthy there. They had some elements in the first one that I liked. Obviously not getting Black Ops. Halo 4 is an interesting one. Maybe. There's a lot of factors influencing whether I'm going to get on the Halo bandwagon a second time or not. The one that I told these guys about, and the one I definitely want to get, even though it's a stealth-ish game, is Dishonored. Every time I see something about Dishonored, I really want it. I think it's going to be a day one purchase. I really kind of am in a little different frame of mind this season because obviously I've got Guild Wars 2. That's going to be going on constantly for, you know, now until the end of the year, if not longer. I mean, the way that game's set up, you can spend a couple hours here, there, and everywhere and get a hell of a lot done. But I'm really babbling, but I'm also kind of really meh about this holiday season. There's a lot of games I want to play, and I have a list of ones I intend to play, most likely before the year's out or early into 2013, but there's really nothing short of Dishonored that's jumping out at me as the one I want on launch.
See, it's a bit of a tough question because like a lot of the games that I'm interested in are actually in Q1 2013. Like, I mean, there's Dead Space 3, there's Ninja Theory's DMC, Devil May Cry is coming out then. And BioShock Infinite's out in February, so you know that's like what I'm waiting for those guys really bad too.
BioShock Infinite, I want it and I'm gonna play it and I'll probably get it on launch, but I'm still pissed off at Levine and Irrational for shoving multiplayer in the son of a bitch. And then taking it out. I think it's out now, but they were discussing putting it in. It's like, fucking really? That looks like a really cool steampunky. Steampunky, you know what I meant. Esque kind of take on BioShock, and I don't know. I liked two, but between the completely useless multiplayer crammed into its asshole, and the fact that it was somewhat of a letdown from one, which probably was to be expected. I'm excited for BioShock Infinite, but I'm also not super uber excited. Devil May Cry is, I almost might just buy Ninja Theory's Devil May Cry and never play it, just to give a big up yours to all the fucking whining bitches that didn't like what Ninja Theory was doing with the game. But you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ninja Theory is the reason why I want to get it, because I think they're a great studio and really didn't get their. You know, I'm so happy that they got to work on a pretty major franchise after Enslaved. You know, like as much as that's a wonderful game, it didn't sell as well as it really deserved to have sold. So I'm just going to support them so they get to make other things.
Well, yeah, I mean that's actually a good reason too. I'd rather that they hadn't taken piecemeal work and just doubled down and grabbed their balls and said, let's fucking make Enslaved 2, fuck them, and get it published on Kickstarter. You know, because Kickstarter, as much as, you know, the inevitable turn and anger and angst and stupidity, and I'm going to hate it now because it's cool, has happened, I'm starting to believe that may change publishing for the good in the long run. So, Glace, what was Luigi's? Jeez, I'm having throat issues tonight, and no, yes, it has nothing
Luigi's
to do
Mansion
with last
is
week.
Quarter one, and Animal Crossing is quarter two now. So,
Animal Crossing, what? Like, do they get on a
3DS?
Bus?
Yeah, the new Animal Crossing.
So, is it like a 3DS port, or are they going to do something?
No, it's new. It's new. It's a new game.
Oh.
This time you can be the mayor.
You're still going to owe Tom Nook, that son of a bitch.
Your enthusiasm just makes me want to continue the I hate it joke even more. It's like you're so happy you get to be the mayor. It's like being Mayor McCheese or something.
It is. Who doesn't want to be that?
Mayor McCheese?
Yeah.
He kind of, well, okay. Fair enough. I was going to say he's purple, but I got that confused. That's fucking Grimace. I wonder how many people even know what we're talking about. Anyway. So is there anything else coming out in quarter one besides Animal Crossing and Luigi's Mansion and BioShock that you're looking forward to, Glaze, or?
Geez, I don't know.
Probably, so, yeah, so, no, basically.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, you know, it sucks, because EA and their just absolute bullheadedness to attempt to compete with Activision. I think this will be the last Medal of Honor game. And I think that's, again, it's like Ninja Theory, John. I saw enough with what Danger Close did with that single player, and as I've said a billion times before, you know, just kind of throwing you in the trenches as combat more really is today, rather than the super AAA Hollywood storyline. I found it refreshing. But you also have to take into account with a lot of people the fact that they hate EA, so they're already predisposed to dislike something, call it something else, you know.
When does the new South Park game come out?
I think that got pushed back to 2013, too.
Okay, well then there's one right there.
Yeah, I want to play that, too. Yeah, that's probably an RPG everybody can love, because it's South Park. You know, I seriously doubt it's going to be heavy on the D&D. Well, and that's the other thing, too. Torchlight 2's out soon. The enhanced Baldur's Gate's already out. You know, like I got fucking time for it. You have Obsidian doing a Kickstarter. I hear if you pay $50, you actually get a version that doesn't, or above, you actually get a version that doesn't have bugs and glitches in it. You know, so it's like, shit. I've actually just started making a list of games that I know I'm going to need to play. Are you going to get Halo 4 on launch, Glace, even though your internet's dodgy?
Yeah, I mean, because I pre-ordered it, so...
Oh, yeah, I forgot you said that earlier. Did you see that, John? I mean, oh, go ahead, Glace.
I'm going to try to register my MAC address with the college, but they might not like that, so we'll see how it goes.
Ah, so it's a maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah, the... The old band might get back together for that one, and not entirely sure. Be kind of like the Beatles doing a reunion now. I'm not real sure how well that's going to work. Could be fun, though, for all the wrong reasons. If Big Papa Patman's playing it every day, I don't think I'm going to pre-order it, but if Big Papa Patman plays it more than 2 days in a row, I'll probably pick it up. Maybe. But they're going back to Master Chief. That's kind of what else worries me, too, about Halo 4. It's like, I liked Reach because it was its own little separate thing, you know. Had a storyline I understood well enough. Didn't need to understand anything else. And it was gorgeous and fun to play. So, not sure I'm invested enough in the Chief to give a shit. Not to mention the fact that Microsoft has registered domains for Halo 5, 6, 7, and 8 as well, so...
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. It's one thing this industry's good at, taking perfectly good stuff and driving it the fuck off a cliff. So, yeah. There you go. Discussion topic. Games that are... I kind of want to do this in case people are going... basically, in essence, to torture people, because I guarantee you there's going to be some of our listeners who go, oh shit, forgot about that game. Oh shit, forgot about that game. And watch their wallets shrink. So, yeah. Actually, Dishonored looks a little bit like BioShock Infinite, except the gameplay mechanic is completely different. And I think that's what's drawing me into it, is the kind of Victorian steampunk look to it, and the storyline and a lot of other things I've read about it. It seems like it's going to be a pretty interesting game. And I guess I'm going to have to go back and play Spec Ops The Line as badly, as much as I thought the controls sucked ass in the demo. Apparently the story's really, really good. So, probably pick that one up before the end of the year, too. So there you go. It's time to move on. We're moving on to Survivornaut, G, the Monkey, Chris, Andrew, a Squid. I think that's it for this week. I'm not sure. Maybe there's a guy in a trash can, too. You're going to have to listen and find out. Take it away, Survivornaut, G, and friends.
Hey, Diddy, are you okay? Here, let me clear that metal plate off of you. Okay, good. What's up, WonderPodOnline.com crew? Survivornaut G, signing in. I'm going to be rolling this live, as we just crash-landed in some woods, somewhere. The escape WonderPod is totaled. I don't think this one will ever fly again. Luckily, I still have my hockey bag and portable audio recorder from the days and parts unknown.
Hey, it's a good thing, too.
What are you doing? Someone's coming. Shh, don't ever put your monkey hands near my mouth again. No Ebola, okay, thanks. Shh. Diddy, forget the recording for a second. You need to hide.
Chris, this way. I see it.
Wow, that thing looks awesome. But it did quite a lot of damage to all these trees. I hope he's alright.
Who? What are you talking about?
You know, that G guy from the WonderPod podcast.
That's rubbish. It's just a character on a show.
Nah, man. It checks out. He sent the transmission last week just before we noticed that burning ball in the sky. And look, this clearly looks like a spaceship of some kind. I cannot believe how much smoke and debris there is.
I don't know. It just looked like a regular giant meteor to me. Well, as regular as giant meteors are anyway.
I'm telling you, man, this isn't another one of my imaginary friends.
Well, what do you want to do?
Well, if watching E.T. taught us anything...
And it most certainly has.
They'll take him and his monkey away and put him in some kind of, like, isolation chamber to analyze his biological makeup. Then we'll eat a load of American chocolate and fly away on our bikes to save him.
Why, it's saving the day so much gosh darn hard work. Okay, let's get to work. Where do we start?
Question. Many video games have used the story convention that the main character has found themselves stranded or crash-landed into a situation that they have to deal with, essentially launching them into the game. These are sometimes done very well, but it is rather cliche way of forcing the player into action. Do you have any favorite titles that involve this kind of premise? On the other side, were there any that were a little too coincidental or poorly thought out for your liking? Finally, do games rely on this too often?
What was that all about? Who were you talking to right then while we were hiding that space trash? Are you drunk?
Hello? I suppose I've got some explaining to do.
I suppose so.
So, Survivornaut G signing off?
Andrew, go divert the media and government. We'll write you into the script later if need be.
Okay. Let's just make sure it involves alcohol. I'm having a strange night.
Damn right.
Yeah, me and Diddy are down. Let's hit the pub. Fuck this WonderPod shit.
Well, 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 Survivornaut G, back on Terra Firma. Welcome back, sir. I hope your upcoming adventures prove to be interesting. So to the question at hand, Chris and Andrew, games where you have been stranded and have to pick up and try to move on. And it's a you're absolutely right that that's a premise that's been used in a lot of games. But what it does allow for is... It kind of creates an easy setup so that you can, so the story of a game can be told to you kind of in more of a, how to put it, more of, an indirect way, so that it unfolds in front of you rather than having a narrator having to tell you or a whole lot of setup in the beginning. It kind of unfolds. So games where I liked that, and to be honest, I had a bit of a hard time thinking of some games where I didn't like it. But before I try to answer that part of it, what I did like, I really liked BioShock. Where you woke up in the water and you're like, "What the hell is on the go?" And that game really tells you the story Rapture, the story of Rapture and your exploration of it. A lot of games that are kind of puzzle based, where not so much puzzle games purely, but games where they kind of wrap a story around the puzzles, like Portal, for example. You wake up and you got to start dealing with stuff pretty fast to figure out how to get through. And that game also kind of gives you a story in little bits and bytes as you play the game, and lets you know what's really behind the scenes. So you see it in a couple of downloadable games for my final examples. Bastion, Braid, and Journey were three games where I really enjoyed the way that they told a story just by your exploration. Bastion, of course, had a narrator and was a little more to the point, but you didn't get the whole premise and what's really going on until once you started getting closer to the end. I liked those a lot, all those games. But as far as ones that I didn't like, and I can't say dislike, ooh, I hated them, but more of a yeah, it's kind of I've seen this before. Let's move on. But one comment that came to mind was Infamous, and that was a game that I liked a lot. But it's kind of you wake up and the town and the city's been decimated by this big force, and you got to go around and try to figure out what happened to you and why you're the way you are. And yeah, it's just a little bit tedious in terms of a story, but it's. But the gameplay was good, so it kind of hopefully it balances out with these kinds of games. I know a lot of JRPGs start off with a character who wakes up with amnesia, and yeah, I don't play a whole lot of those kinds of games, so I guess I'll put that on my list. So I think maybe it's a little bit overused to a certain extent, but when it's done well, it really does work for me. How about you, Glace? What do you think?
Well, to answer your last question, Chris, you ask if games rely on using this thing too often, and I think they do, but I think they do because it's a good strategy for a game to have you jump right in on the action. I mean, games want you to get to the gameplay as quickly as possible, so you can get to what you bought. I'm not a big fan of RPGs, as you guys know, and so I find having to sit through really long cutscenes sort of tedious. I mean, there are some times where I like it, like in Paper Mario, where they're really amusing, where the story is set up really well, and I'm enjoying watching it like a movie. But for the most part, I don't like having to sit through walls of text that much. So, I mean, in games like Half-Life, where you're in the reactor and you start it, or Halo, where you come out of the drop pod. I mean, even Call of Duties, I don't even like that much. You just get started right away, and I think that's how games should be. I don't really want to have to wait to start playing. I'd rather just start playing as soon as possible because, that's what I paid to get. So that's what I think.
That answer right there, except in a much more vitriolic and childish manner, is the reason they use this device over and over and over again to start games. Nobody has any patience. Very few gamers want to wait for anything. They just want to go. That's one way to look at it. For me personally, Chris and Andrew, I don't care. I seriously have never been the kind of person that gives a shit why we're there right at first or how it got there. I mean, in opening cinematics, I can go, "Oh, beautiful. Oh, cool." But once you're on the ground, it's like, okay, what do we got to do now? And that includes sitting through cutscenes, which these days, I mean, cutscenes of this era are nothing compared to cutscenes of 10 years ago. But I just never really question or give much of a shit about what, process or bit or schematic they use to start, the game. I'm just more interested in getting, you know, or finding out what I got to do and where I got to go, whether that's through a cutscene or whether it's like Glacinator's talking about, you know, it's just immediately into the action. Because this question strikes me as one that also that tends to really irritate the shit out of me, that a lot of super religious people use, is the, well, if God doesn't exist, then why are we here? The why are we here question. You know, I hate that question because it's like, who gives a shit? I'm breathing. I'm good. Life's pretty good. I don't care why I'm here. I am, and I got shit to do. You know, so, I mean, in a way, there's a parallel to between the two, because that's just never really been my concern of, in some most cases, why something's happening, especially a chaotic event. Why it's happening can be figured out later. Getting through it and getting the job done has always been more important to me. But I think really truthfully, guys, the root cause is the fact that a lot of gamers don't have any patience for waiting.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Kind of threw you under the bus a little bit there, Glaze. But you're like the mildest. Yeah, but you're also, I know you well enough personally that you're also the mildest, you know, form of it. You're not going to go run to Metacritic and give something a -5 because it made you wait 2.5 minutes.
No, I mean, if I got to sit through something, I'll sit through something. I would prefer to just get started.
Well, again, it's like John said, I think, about me last week, scarily enough. You know, you're realistic. You're willing to be judged the whole experience like we've talked about on the show. You know, if the intro was too slow for you, that's obviously going to be some points not in the game's favor, but you're willing to see what the entire game gives you.
Exactly.
You know, so, I mean, that's why I said you're the mildest case of it. I've seen people give 0 out of something, you know, on a Metacritic or game rankings and then go, you know, the intro sucked and then the game was only like 10 or 12 hours. I was like, wait a minute. The intro sucked really, really bad. You played it anyway, and now you're mad because of a 5-minute intro out of a 12-hour game, and you're going to give it a 0 on Metacritic to show them who's boss. That's actually the only thing I can think of dumber than me playing the original Dragon Age twice. So, hopefully we answered your question on Survivor Not G. It's good to hear you're back on Terra Firma, even if you're in the UK, I think. Not sure. And we'll look forward to hearing from you and the gang next week. All right. I'm going to admit up front that I did this just because I want to do sheep shagging jokes. But in reality, this first thing we're going to do tonight pisses me off. And it really pisses me off because I know that there are people that probably are going to use this. This comes to us from CVG. ShaggyGamer.com videos offer virgin gamers dating tips. And the quote underneath it literally made me slam my head on my desk. It's lucky the desk survived. I'm looking for someone to overload my buffer. I'm not going to read the text because then it's just going to make me angry and not want to do the rest of the show. But essentially, there's a picture of a scantily clad blonde, 2 videos, and it's all apparently giving tips for virgin gamers on how to meet and pick up women. Now, I can speak for all 3 of us when I say that women and video games and something this ridiculous and insulting have nothing to do with each other. John has produced a child. I'm a farmer, so obviously I shake sheep. And Glacinator, from what I've heard from sources, is a baby-faced lady killer. None of that, especially the sheep, have anything to do with video games. This is just a sad, pathetic scam. And I'm hoping that 95% of gamerdom is insulted and slightly to moderately furious about it. First question I have for you, gentlemen. And no, it's not about sheep. Glace, let's start with you. Did you actually watch any of the videos?
No, because I don't want my roommates to think I'm watching porn.
What the hell's wrong with that? Are you guys like a bunch of Quakers or something? What the hell's wrong with that? I don't want to know the answer. On second thought, I don't want to know. Man, that's the closest I've ever come to going, you know, maybe you guys should drink. John, did you actually watch any of the videos?
To be honest, I didn't, because I read the article at work, and I didn't really feel that I should watch it.
See, that's a more acceptable answer than my roommates. I don't want my roommates knowing I'm watching porn. Is that a big epidemic at your college? Anyway,
I won't answer that.
It's a college. It's a rhetorical question. Anyways. Well, the reason I was asking is because you saved yourselves, because I was going to make fun of you. Because the minute I saw the headline, I'm like, and I saw there was a YouTube video, I just went, no fucking way. I am not that pathetic. I will watch porn. I make no secret of it. But that's porn. It's not dating tips from a woman who, according to the still shot that I'm looking at on this article, is holding a PlayStation 3 controller with a look on her face that tells me she's not even sure what it is. Either that, or she's thinking of using it as a sexual aid. One of the two.
Yeah, she should be holding the PS Move thing.
Fucking classic.
Or she's hoping that she's not just holding the six axes, and because if she is, it doesn't have Rumble.
I was just gonna say, yeah, is that a straight six axis, or is that actually one of the Rumble ones they finally gave up and produced?
Yeah,
I'm guessing neither of you are surprised by this. I mean, I think we made fun of Shaggy Gamer when it first came out. But I can't remember. We've done too many of these shows. But this, I mean, Claysonator, after your comment, I'm leaving you out of this. But did video games in any way, shape, or form come up on, like, you and your wife's first to fifth date, John?
No, sir.
Yeah, thank you very fucking much.
Now, that being said, I think I've mentioned on the podcast that over the course of our relationship, I have introduced her to video games. Not that it got me shagged or anything, but as a mutual entertainment thing, yeah, totally. But not in reference to what's here.
Now, at the same time, I should also point out that there are a lot of wonderful gaming women and a lot of wonderful couples who met through video games, so we're not condemning the practice either. It's just most of the time, you know, it doesn't come up. I mean, kind of like you, John, I've had at least a couple girlfriends who understood that the hobby was not, you know, so out of control it was going to affect our relationship. So, you know, they had no issue with it, and were fine with it. I've never actually dated one that wanted to actively participate in gaming. The other thing, yeah, you know, well, sheep can't play video games anyway, so I guess that's kind of why it's out. But I forgot what I did with my intro. So, Glacinator, I just thought of a college question for you.
Okay.
Do you know anybody personally that plays video games that would take tips from something like this?
Sadly, yes.
I almost think I know who it is too. I'm not gonna say, but I just somebody just popped in my head. We've had a conversation about that.
Really?
You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm talking about?
I think if we're thinking of the same person, I'm gonna fall out my chair right now. I think we're thinking of the same person.
See, I was right.
You broke him, yeah.
Well, trust me, I've never even spoken to the kid, and just interacting with him in the capacity I have. And that just popped into my head, Glaze. That wasn't like a setup bit. The sheep jokes were a setup bit I thought of before the show, but that just popped into my head when I asked you the question. Because when you went, sadly, yes, I went, oh, fuck, yes. So I know one, too. Actually.
Thank goodness he does not listen to this.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, I'd always love to have more listeners. But yeah, but we didn't say his name. That's why I didn't say his name. Actually, you know what? I just thought of another one too. One that I know personally. I mean, and that's sad. Honestly, if you are somebody, if you listen to this show and you are somebody, Carlos, that would take advice from this kind of crapola, don't. If you want to meet women, don't be creepy. Just be yourself. Well, unless you're Carlos, don't be yourself. And, you know, just basically don't be fucking creepy. Don't be a typical video game nerd. Do the exact opposite of what these videos are telling you. And I have no idea what they're telling you because none of us have watched them. All right, I feel. And on top of that, shame on you, Shaggy Gamer. This is fucking stupid. All right, let's move on. Look at that stupid shit. That's the first time I've ever broken glaze there. That's fucking awesome.
Oh, it's great.
Okay. Oh yeah. Actually, let's do more rage. Rage that won't make glaze later. God, I almost want to meet the guy now. I seriously do. It's just, I don't know. I
feel sorry for what you had to listen to if the conversation went that way.
Oh. No. It's just general stuff from Facebook and other places that okay. led me to believe that was possible. And a couple things you've said, but let's move on before this is really out of hand. Because we're not here to trash people. Well, not, yeah, we are. Now, if you remember last week when we were talking about the Wii U's price announcement, I spoke about social media, all social media, Twitter, Google+, Facebook, Pinterest, Clout, my left ass cheek. We're raging about the price. Then can somebody please explain to me this headline? Wii U pre-orders selling out online. Best Buy, Kmart, Sears, Target, Toys R Us, GameStop, sort of. There's a lot of fucking hypocrites running around, ain't there? That's all I had to say about this ridiculous bullshit. John, you feel free to say whatever you want.
Well, I mean, personally, I didn't think the price was too bad. I'm not sure what the Wii U is really like. As much as you know, the Wii name is still obviously it must be pretty. Shit, I'm stuttering over myself. Pretty huge, but I'm just not sure what exactly is bringing to the table for all these sellouts. But I'm happy to see that it is, and I hope it doesn't kick back in their faces if they don't deliver come November 18th.
Glaze, any thoughts? Were you a little surprised? I know you're still kind of on the fence.
Yeah,
the fence.
I was actually really surprised because both of my roommate and I really don't find this thing very interesting. And we were talking before the show, and I asked him about what he thought about them selling out, and he was totally baffled by it as well. And I think it's more so it's just the initial wave of hardcore Nintendo fanboys. I thought a lot more had maybe not necessarily jump ship, maybe got another ship, and like I did in terms of getting another console over the course of the Wii's life cycle. But I guess I was wrong. And I think it's going to be more important to look at whether or not this initial wave of this initial wave lasts longer as opposed to how big the initial wave is to start out with.
Well, it's kind of like what we said about the launch lineup next week. Yeah, in the future. what we said about the launch lineup last week. Okay, yes, the day one games aren't great. Talk to me in 6 months. And I think with the sales numbers, because this did surprise me a little bit. I mean, I did this to point out the hypocrisy of the re-edit 4chan, NeoGAF, and all fucking crowd, you know, who we take every opportunity to make fun of that are bitching, going on social media to act cool and then fucking order one. You know, and so I'm a little surprised by it. I didn't ask you that, John. Are you a little surprised?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'm happy to see it, but I am a little bit surprised.
Well, okay. I just scrolled back through a conversation from Patman and I. Yeah, that's right. Pat's going to appear on the show in text format. Here was his response when we were batting this back and forth. He said, no, people who don't waste all day posting trash talk about new stuff on the interwebs are pre-ordering the Wii U and selling it out. Ha. And what he meant by that was, like, you know, possibly casual Wii owners who there's been enough time lapse are just going to, you know, the people who see TV ads or hear, because this made, obviously, mainstream news services. So, and I'm not going to scroll back all the way through our conversation and continue to quote it, but essentially, his take and kind of mine too is there may be some soccer mom stuff here. You know, maybe they are actually going to upgrade since the Wii's been out for so long to somebody who's not a cynical, jaded gamer. You know, the fact that you can transfer all your games, the fact that you can transfer, you know, the Wiimote controllers and so on and so forth. So that's kind of an angle I'm looking at, too. Any thoughts on that or just still just surprised it's selling out?
Has there been a lot of advertisements on it for it on TV?
Seen two.
I haven't seen any on TV.
Yeah, I haven't seen any, so that doesn't really make sense to me.
Both of those were, well, I think it's more the mainstream news stuff, Glaze, because like I saw it on CNBC. You know, they mentioned Nintendo's press conference, gave the rundown of the prices. And of course, you know, you see it on places like Yahoo, things of that nature, which aren't necessarily the bleeding edge of gaming, but that's where the more casual people possibly get their news. I mean, I read it too, obviously, to a certain extent, but so I don't know. I think you had it right though, Glaze. Let's talk about this 6 months after launch and see what the sales numbers are.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think all three of us are going to be surprised. I got this gut feeling that it's going to be better than we had expected. Okay, moving on. Actually, more console news. An even slimmer PS3 is launching this year. The 250 gig version will run you $269, which is like $20 more than the current entry level model, which is $249, which is actually a little more. Yeah, get over it. I'm sucking math. What you will get with that one, though, is the Game of the Year edition of Drake's Uncharted 3. Oh, fuck. I said it wrong. Sorry, PS3 fans. I'm trying to do PS3 news. Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception. $30 voucher for Dust 514, which is the free-to-play game on the PSN network. I thought there was one other damn thing for this. That's for the 250-gig version. Oh, no, the 500-gig version is the one that gets you a bunch of other freebies, which apparently this Kama Sutra fucking article didn't have. John, you've had your current PS3 quite a while. Are you planning on upgrading to the Super Slim before the console's life cycle ends? Or do you care about this? Shit, no.
Shit no. I mean, what I guess it must be is that someone's done some research about form factors of devices in the home, and you know, someone's come to the realization that maybe smaller, like less footprint on your entertainment system is better, and so you know, maybe that's why they're shrinking it down or just generate some more buzz. I don't know, but you know, to me, as long as my current PS3 is doing what it needs to do and keeping up, and there's no significant upgrades in terms of processing power, that kind of stuff, and it's just form factor, I don't care.
Wow, look at you using all these scientific and technical terms. Form factor and footprint on your entertainment center? Fucking Jesus, don't classy up the show that much. We got a reputation of crap dub hold. I never thought about using the term footprint, though, on your entertainment center. You know, I'm used to it and being part-time in, or most of the time in agriculture, you know, carbon footprint, this kind of footprint, that blah, blah, blah. But I never thought it works perfectly well in that.
I to tell you the truth, I had someone come into my lab today for a tour, and we were talking about instrumentation and how in a lab you want to have your instrument having the smallest footprint as possible because you know, bench space is an important thing when you're doing, you know, experiments and testing, right? So sometimes you just don't want the biggest and the best. The biggest isn't always the best.
I agree. That actually works very similar principle in a fabrication shop too. Mm-hmm. And because I like to have elbow room. But that doesn't have a fucking thing to do with video games. Sorry, guys. Glaze. Okay, so 249, and I think that's for the 160 model, correct, John?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so 249 for the 160 model, or 269 for this 250 Super Slim that looks kind of like a really misshapen egg. I know you're not a Sony fan, but if you like Animal Crossing, games like Little Big Planet should at least somewhat entice you. Do either of these entice you to buy one before the life cycle ends?
I mean, not really, because my roommate has a PS3, and we play it all the time, so it's like I already have one.
Actually, with the way my desk setup is and all the electronics crap I have in here, I shouldn't have made fun of John for saying entertainment center footprint, because that is kind of important. I'm actually thinking about it. I'm thinking about this 269 one. I was contemplating getting a tablet for myself for Christmas, you know, because I usually just have family, friends, and everybody else just give me cash, and then I buy what I want, because it's easier, since I'm a tech head, than, you know, than asking them to attempt to. But I don't know. 250 gigabyte for 269, and I get, you know, one game, and we're close enough to the end of the life cycle. And on top of that, unless I buy an adapter that's super expensive now with my new monitor setup, I can't play my PlayStation 2 anymore unless I drag it out to an old TV. I might actually have to go with this. Also, John, if you look at the picture and you see where the green light is, Now, I was able to discern immediately where the disk drive was. Yeah.
This one is a bit tough, isn't it? Based on this picture,
see it over there.
Is it the green light thing? That little
No. I think, and I know. Well, no, I don't think I know because I fucking cheated. I'm pretty sure that it's see the PlayStation logo, the green light to the far left.
To the far left, that's square.
Yeah.
Really.
And that's for me staring at the picture after I saw the headline on my RSS reader. You guys wanted to know where the PlayStation disk drive button was? We show you. And I thought, oh my fucking God. Well, I mean, it's not like it's not going to have one. I would think if you get it, take it out of the box and look, you're going to see.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently people are so paranoid and panicky that they won't buy one unless... all its secrets are revealed. Its hidden cracks and crevices are revealed to us before we buy one. Pretty sure there's going to be a demo machine at PlayStation, people. But I saw that headline and I'm like, oh, God. Finally tonight, it's a story involving Cliffy B. What I'm going to say about this particular story is not in any way, shape, or form my continuing thrashing of Cliffy B. It has nothing to do with that. In this particular case, I like what he's thinking, but I don't agree with it for various reasons, none of which have to do with Cliffy B. Okay, I have to give that disclaimer because sooner or later he's going to become name redacted number 3, I think. I closed the window. Where's the story? Unreal Reboot could take cues from Skyrim, Cliff Bleszinski. Cliffy's a big fan of the Elder Scrolls, and he thinks the open world exploration could be a great fit for a potential Unreal reboot. Unreal Tournament, or Unreal, if you're unfamiliar with it, was one of the grandfathers of first-person shooters, although I hate to break it to Cliffy, but Doom and Quake were out first, so bite me. So I was wrong. I am going to make fun of Cliffy for a tenth of a second. Here's my thing, guys, and here's what I thought when I initially read this story. I like the way Cliffy's thinking. It'll never fucking work. And it'll never fucking work because an FPS player's brain is wired wrong. They do not want to explore. They do not, you know. I referenced Glazenator's kind of monologue earlier on the Survivor Not G and Friends question. I just don't see this working. You know, I'm not sure you can smash Skyrim-esque world headlong into a fast-paced, twitchy first-person shooter. Am I wrong or am I right? John, why don't you take it first?
I mean, for me, personally, it sounds interesting. But I think you do have a point that the general masses would probably think that, you know, they're going to want their tight spaces. They don't want it diluted by space and running around and nothing going on. I think a lot more first person shooter fans kind of want that edge. You know, I'm not sure if you know what vast areas to run around really gives you that.
Glacinator is our resident impatience expert. What's your take?
I'm going to disagree with you, Bruce. I think that this has the potential to work because the reasons why I don't like RPGs aren't because of exploration. I love exploring areas in games and looking around and things, seeing things. It's the leveling up and the inventory systems and all that stuff, managing your character stuff that I don't like. I like finding areas and things. So I think if the game stresses more exploration than inventory management, then it has potential to be an awesome game.
So what you're saying is you could enjoy Skyrim if somebody handled you handled, maybe I manhandled you a little bit earlier. If somebody handed you a top out level character in Skyrim with the best armor, best everything, you had a mount, whole nine yards, you could see yourself getting a kick out of just roaming around and exploring, maybe attacking some things.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, you know, it's funny because I knew that was one of your major bitches against RPGs, and I had to laugh the other night because I realized that my inventory management style is once my bank gets full and once my bags get full, I put up with it until it pisses me off, and then I sell everything, including things I'm probably going to need later. So if you kind of adopt my RPG inventory management, which is just get pissed off and sell everything that you can possibly sell, it's not that much trouble. But I do know what you mean. That's interesting. I never thought about that because, I guess because I've seen and heard on Xbox Live so many people bitching about bigger maps in Battlefield, that I just assume that this would not work for the FPS genre. As much as I love the Bash Cliffy, he has obviously enough clout in the industry that he could get this done and probably survive the aftermath if it didn't sell worth a crap. Actually, let's you do that as a follow-up question, and then we'll do something else. Glace, we'll ask you first. Do you think you can make it interesting enough without any RPG elements? Because Borderlands is kind of open world shootery, but has some RPG elements.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Borderlands is definitely a good example of that. I mean, there's some menu systems you have to go through, but they're not really painstaking. It's more like, do I like this gun or do I like this gun better? Swap it out, you know, just see the stats real quick. You don't really have to muddle over it for 30 minutes deciding what you want to get rid of, what you don't want to get rid of, which I just can't stand watching my brother play Skyrim. It's like in a shop for like an hour, like, I gotta put this armor in here, the dragon bones are too heavy, I gotta go drop it off over here, value 300, da-da-da. You know, it's like a math class, and I think that's definitely the main problem that people that are wired like me have with those type of games, is that you just, like I said, I just want to get to the action, and whether the action is exploration or discovery, so be it, you know?
Well, see, you just need to not be OCD like your brother. I'm assuming we're talking the one that's at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
The other one's not OCD at all. he's OC something. I'm starting to get a picture of why you don't like RPGs. If you were watching an OCD person play it, and I'm not saying his brother has obsessive compulsive disorder, but it sounds a little bit like it because even I'm not that bad in Skyrim. John, do you think you could do it without RPG elements, or would it have to be more like Borderlands, which you may not even know what the hell that is?
I think you could do it as long as what you're doing is interesting and not just. I mean, exploration is fun, but there needs to be some sort of a reward for you doing your exploration, and if that I'm not sure that needs to involve RPG elements, but you know, my mind kind of goes towards story a little bit. If there's some, if you can somehow forward what the story of the game a little bit by exploring, like I don't know. Dear Esther is kind of a bad example, I guess. It's pretty slow pace, but in that one, you're first person walking around, and that's a little more subtle in terms of how, you know, giving you a bit of a story as you travel. So I don't know. I guess again, if it comes down to the Twitchers who want to shoot and run and gun, then it's not going to appeal with no patience. But
well, one aspect that I could see working is you know. War and battlefields, from everything I've studied in history, are not like fluid, static things, short of parts of World War One. So the potential for using exploration to, as a gameplay element and as something that you would be rewarded, you know, like littering enemy strongholds everywhere, if it's single player or cooperative multiplayer, to where you have to jump all over the map. Or all over the game world, if it's something like Skyrim, you know, like say you attack an enemy stronghold here and oh no, now, you know, X number of whatever you want to say, miles, kilometers, so on and so forth, you know, then you got to go over there and you got to do it as fast as possible. And maybe it could be a little bit like an MMO or an RPG where like if you find certain landmarks, you get points or, you know, the more RPG elements you add, the more you're going to have to kind of probably have a level up system. But it could be something like COD, which isn't real labor or Battlefield, which isn't super labor intensive in what choices you have with leveling up. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting theory, and we've talked about it in various ways several times on the show before, but to see Cliffy talk about it and with Unreal, which I did enjoy. I mean, I was trying to think which one was the last one I played. It might have been like Unreal Tournament 2003 or something like that. That's the last one I played. But have either of you played any of the Unreal Tournament stuff from the earlier days?
Nah, to be honest, I haven't.
It's before my time.
2003 was before your time, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was. I mean, that was one of the games. I just didn't have a whole lot of interest in multiplayer first person shooters. You know, I barely have much interest now, but back then I had none.
Oh, especially, okay, yeah, that's right.
And especially on PC, like I wasn't. I only became a PC gamer last year.
Good point.
to any degree.
I mean, I was only 11 back then, so.
I know. I know. I'm just giving you shit again as usual. Well, that's all I got. Did you guys see anything interesting this week that struck your fancy or no or what?
I noticed the lack of Last Guardian news from the Tokyo Game Show.
I did see a headline about that. Thank you for reminding me, because I was gonna actually just do it as a quickie.
As a quickie update, yeah. Still no go.
Well, it did not show up at Tokyo Game Show, but one of the poor bastards at Team ICO, the kid keeps getting thrown to the press, says that it still exists. It's still under development. They're working through the bugs, and the entire time, my head is in my head. I'm going Duke Nukem like it goes, because that's what it's becoming. I'm sorry, I know it's a tear for you, John, but yeah, it's really starting to concern me. This is like four shows they have not shown it at, because they were rumored to show it at GDC, never happened. E3 never happened. There was rumors they were going to be at both PAXs, never happened. Tokyo Game Show, which is right in their backyard, never happened. I don't like it, because especially if I buy a PS3 this holiday season, I don't like it, because I, you know, have followed its development even though I'm not a PS3 owner. So yeah, that kind of sucks. No Kitty Dragons, maybe. No. Glaze.
I still dream.
Yeah, it may happen. Glace, anything you saw or heard this week?
I thought it was interesting that there's going to be a new Dead Island that G was talking about.
Oh, that you mean the trailer I posted about Dead Island Riptide?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that, so it surprised me.
I'm not interested in it. You know, G is very much into zombie games of all types and stripes, so he had motivation to explore that island, but I found it to be not very welcoming and not really encouraging you to explore. I'm actually paraphrasing from memory what I said in comments or what I wrote in that post with the trailer. I forgot G also posted the trailer in our WPO chat, but I like Techland enough, and I enjoyed Dead Island just enough that I'm glad they got the opportunity to make a new one, but I think it's going to be a pretty easy pass for me. It just wasn't enough in the first one. I also liked the first trailer better, but this one was less controversial, so I think they toned it down a little bit. Did you see the trailer, John?
No, I missed that one.
I see nobody reads this website, including the people that work for it. I just, you guys both know I don't give a shit. I'm just flicking you shit. Yeah, I saw that in my RSS reader, and I thought, oh well, hey, I'll post it, you know, because it's just like, really, it's I don't know. Watch it, you watch it, and you think, yeah, the first one was more emotion invoking, but way more controversial as well. So there you have it. If you want to find the show on a consistent basis, it's iTunes. Subscribe, give us a rating, tell us we suck. I don't care. Which one guy has done, actually, now. quite the treat. If I could remember his iTunes username, I'd say it. Say thank you for telling us we suck. he said something like, we don't talk about video games or something. I forget what that is. There's too much fucking... I don't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. If you don't like iTunes, which we know some people don't, you can also get the show at archive.org. Just search WonderPod. Both these, just search WonderPod. We do have a Facebook where all this info is also located. It's WonderPod Online. Shoot a friend request unless you're an obvious spam bot. We always accept. We have a website, which I've talked about a couple times on the show, WonderPodOnline.com, where you can find interesting things like trailers and posts and... We're kind of all over the place. We have gaming, we have wrestling, we have sports, we have Glacinator with playthrough videos. I do some playthrough videos. John does some movie reviews from time to time, all kinds of stuff. And also, I post this podcast there with an embedded player. So if you don't want MP3s junking up your computer, you can listen to our embedded player. I just wish archive.org would actually get a counter on the damn thing. Obviously, if we're doing playthrough videos, we have some YouTube channels. One of them is WonderPod Online. There's one for 36 Wii. Glacinator's got one. If none of that strikes your fancy, we also have an email address. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter @WonderPodOnline. Or you can follow me on Twitter @ORIGIM. I really need to change that to Bruce McGee, for fuck's sake. Or you can follow John on Twitter at...
at John Keogh, JONKEHOE.
Until episode 129, I am Bruce McGee. I'm off to find a herd of sheep. See you, people.
Cheers.
See ya.